Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is the Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
My dad just gave me chocolates. Here. And I took a bite and I was like, wait, what the heck? And it was two. So, you know, these are the dark chocolate. These are good.
Yeah. They're very good. They're real organic. Good.
Dude, I had French toast.
I love French toast. I can make French toast.
You know what I had for breakfast?
What?
Chicken soup.
Chicken soup for breakfast? This is a true Mexican.
What? Who made the French toast? Who made the French toast? Crystal?
No, so I come downstairs. So my routine is I make a pot of coffee. Uh-huh. So I sit down there and she's like, we have French toast today. I'm like, hook it up because I just bought dulce de leche. You know the dulce de leche, yes. The caramel?
Yes.
I just bought it from the store. So I'm like, hook it up. So I ate three and then I was like, make another five. So she brought them in. So I get the bread and then I put the butter on it and then I put the dulce de leche on top and I just squeeze it like a taco.
Do you make any manjar? Do you make any manjar?
The manjar, yeah. No, oh. I don't make it, but I buy it from the store. They sell it now. There's this one place. Actually, I got some from Lithuania.
Wow.
It's from Lithuania, but it's the same stuff. It's condensed milk cooked.
Yeah. Like a jeta.
It's the same thing. So, but it's like just like the way mom makes it. Mm-hmm. Or you could buy it. Nestle makes it at, you know, you could buy it at Ralph's. Oh, man, it's chocolate. It's good, too.
I love that stuff.
So, anyway, we're going to talk about end times. Mm-hmm. So, I know last week, on the show, we were talking about it. We did kind of do an overview of just the kind of the pulse of what's happening. But this week, I want to talk about what the Bible says and how it plays out chronologically. So let's begin. Just a little background. Let's see what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, Sean.
Yeah. So Mark chapter 13 is before Jesus would go to the cross. That last week he spent with his disciples. And this is known as the Olivet Discourse. It says this, verse 5 of Mark chapter 13 says this, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and he will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows.
So he's saying people will come and say that they're he. So like future
deception.
Deception. First, yeah. Go for it, Dad. So what does all this mean?
Well, if you look at prophetical things, you got to go back to the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. So we look at a 7,000-year period that the Bible talks about. From Genesis chapter 1 to verse to chapter 12, you have a 2,000-year period already fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Okay, from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to the last book of Malachi, the 400-year silence.
So that's the end of the Old Testament.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then you come to Matthew chapter 1, mm-hmm. there's another 2,000 years historically speaking. So that's four. Mm-hmm. So now from Matthew all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, second coming, mm-hmm. you have another 7,000, actually another 2,000, mm-hmm. that's 6,000. Numbers, six is the number of men, mm-hmm. seven is the number of perfection. You have 7 days in a week, the eighth day starts a new week. Mm-hmm. So you have 6,000 years finished, and then you have when Christ comes back at the second coming to set up the kingdom age. Mm-hmm. So you have this period of time. So when you get to the kingdom age, it's 1,000 years. So now you have 1,000 years times plus 7, that's 8,000 years, because 8 starts a new heavens and a new earth. Mm-hmm. And it ends up with the white throne judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15.
Okay. So now let's break that down. So where do you think we are right now at this time? Because Jesus, 2,000 years ago, is talking. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the signs of the times when this stuff is going to happen. Yeah. Our last show, we talked about the signs of the times. Mm-hmm. So now, where do you think we are right now in history?
Well, I believe right now we're at the end of the Old Testament's done, but I believe also that these are the days where Jesus spoke to us about his coming, and there's only one event right now that's holding us back, you know, and that's the rapture of the church. You know, the rapture of the church is where he's going to take out his faithful church, the church that really believe in him, and again, I'll say this, it's a remnant of people. It's not the whole church. Because, I mean, Paul talks about this, you know, because in chapter 4, he talks about the rapture, chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. He begins to talk about that antichrist that is rising. But in chapter 1, actually verses 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about this rapture, you know, when he leaves and when we leave. And then all of a sudden, all hell will break loose. We will know, the church, we will know, and this is important, we will know those that have been left behind is because they didn't believe you, they didn't believe Sean, they didn't believe it, they didn't believe the Bible.
I have a question about that, about people being left behind. In Matthew 7:21, it said, Jesus talks about true disciples. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter on Judgment Day, which we're going to get to that in Revelations 20. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws, or you workers of iniquity, in the King James.
See, that's part of the church right there.
Exactly. You know? So you're saying that there's going to be the rapture come and take the church.
Yes.
Now that just... Yes. That just divided the remnant.
These are the people that think they're going to heaven, but they're full-time in the world. You know, I've preached about this, okay? You got these people that accepted Christ. Mm-hmm. They go back into the world. They become worldly. Mm-hmm. And they still think, because they come to church, they read the Bible, that they're going to be part of that group that are going to be going to heaven.
So what's separating them? Because it says, you workers of iniquity.
Sin.
That's sin.
Sin.
So it's people that are going to church. I mean, it says they're casting out demons. They're prophesying.
They're still on drugs. They still drink. They do all these things.
But they're still caught up in sin.
Even Ephesians. I mean, Colossians.
What does it say?
The epistles. It talks about people that are not really walking with God. Mm-hmm. He says that those that are not obeying the word of God, they're the ones that are going to be in. They're going to be trapped. Because they're going to think, well, I'm going to church, I'm reading this, I'm reading that. And the Lord says, no, you're not. In the Old Testament, the remnant, God separated the remnant. You see, when they were let go, God separated the remnant. And I believe all the way through, I marked it in my Bible, wherever it speaks about a remnant. And in the New Testament, we have a remnant, the real church that's going to be taken.
You know what, Raul? We're thinking about you saying Colossians and Ephesians, also like Corinthians, right? So Corinthians is a great example. It was a church that was birthed in the midst of a carnal place, nation, or whatever.
Carnal, what does that mean? Because we have a lot of listeners that don't.
Evil, right? And evil, corruptness, people know what that means. It means that there's darkness, there's evil, there's witchcraft, there's all that kind of stuff. That's where the Church of Corinth birthed from. And in a couple years, Paul wrote two letters to them. There's some believe that there was another letter that got lost. But he's correcting them. He's correcting them because they were playing church. They were... Gifts of the Holy Spirit are talked about. So there's obviously the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being used in some aspects.
And there were chapters like you spank it.
But then there's carnality. Yeah. There's like you're sleeping with, there's sexual immorality that's taken place.
Yeah, some guy was sleeping with his like his
stepmom his or something like that.
Yeah.
So I bring that up because as we're all saying right now, you know, God gives us grace upon our lives. But he does not give, it's not a license to sin and continue living a lifestyle of sin, because Paul says what he says in Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, that if you continue living this lifestyle, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And that's what Raul's talking about. And you're bringing up in Matthew chapter 7, they said, Lord, Lord, like they were casting out demons. There was maybe a work taking place in their life. But there wasn't obedience. There wasn't abiding. There wasn't a connection and a relationship with the Lord.
I've heard people say, you know, because I've posted some stuff on my social media about, you know, repentance and all this stuff. And you know, someone said something like, you know, it's just whosoever believes, you know. And I'm like, well, there has to be a transformation.
Calvinism.
And that's why Jesus says, The word of God says, I will make you a new creation in Christ. That means there's a transformation process. And then what about when Jesus in Matthew 7:17, he says a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. John, yes. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. So here he is. He's talking about Christians.
John 15 tells you the same thing you just read. He says it's like a tree, a vine, mm-hmm. where these people that are not only thinking they're Christians, you know, you take a vine, you have this fruit coming from the vine, yeah. but then all of a sudden you go out to trim your vine and you see that these dead branches. So what does Jesus do? He says he takes it, he trims it. But the actual branches that are dried up, he takes, he casts them into the fire.
The fire.
Because
what is the
they
fire?
Don't have
they're
any
useless.
Fruit.
It's like a fire. That's what happens. When you're not connected to the vine any longer, just a branch, it's of no value. It's of no use. And that's when somebody is disconnected with the Lord. You're not abiding.
And in
dwelling.
The Bible, Jesus is referred to as the vine.
And we believe in abiding. It's abiding every day. We're Calvinists, you know. You have like John MacArthur's, you know, Calvinists. Then you have the Catholic Church or those that are emotional, Pentecostals. Mm-hmm. Calvary Chapel stands in the middle. Because of the word of God. We believe that we abide in Christ. If you really abide in Christ, you're going to have conviction. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you don't have conviction, then you're not a Christian. You know, and the neatest thing about it in John 15, I love Chuck used to teach that he takes it and you can't imagine, trims it, and then he separates it. If you trim what is green, it's going to bring forth fruit. But that is dry is going to burn.
Mm-hmm. That's the same, message that John the Baptist said, you know, repent, and turn to God and be mm-hmm. forgiven of your sins.
Yep.
But there has to be a transformation, and that's going back to this whole rapture thing. Mm-hmm. Is that when Jesus comes for His church, there's tons of scriptures of warnings that if people are not, and I'm not saying. Just to be clear, like we make mistakes.
Yes.
We, you know, Christians, we can drift. When I say drift, you could get caught up and not read your Bible for like 5 days and all of a sudden you start cussing again and that old man starts coming to life because the old man is dominating and the spirit man is dying. So there are times when we drift and we get back on the right track. We get on those detour routes, as I was referred to.
Romans 6 or 8.
Yeah, you'd get on that detour route.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to know that. Don't live in condemnation, but you if you're not producing good fruit and it's just your life is bad fruit, just look at your life and it's continuous, you got to be careful. I'm not talking about, you know, messing up here and there.
Oh, right.
I'm talking about a continue. Obviously, we're talking about a vine and the thing died. Yeah. Clearly, it's been a long time before the thing died. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was an ongoing of like death to be dead.
Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 13, he talks about, you know, the four people, no faith. And then you have those that are emotional for a little while. Then you have those that are worldly. And then those that are really Christians, they bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fruit. They're fruitful. The others are not fruitful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a text that your dad taught a couple weeks ago. And everything that we're talking about right now, I feel like is just kind of, if you're talking about the rapture and all these kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and we're talking about, it's an exhortation. Check this out. This is in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. It says, "But take heed to yourselves, and lest your hearts be weighed down by carousing or drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come to you as a snare and those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." He's just saying, don't let these days come upon you unexpectedly where you're saying, oh, the Lord's not coming back. And then you go back to your old life. You start drinking. You start partying. You start living this carnal life. And then as we're talking about the rapture, we're talking about the remnant and saying, you're not going to be ready. You're not ready. And it was a great.
And it also even says like when the bastard comes home and if he finds you out, you know, getting drunk and doing your thing, that you'll be punished.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and that's what he's talking about in the punishment.
There's so much in the New Testament you can't get away from it.
And going back to the rapture, it also talks about two men will be working together in the field, mm-hmm. and one will be
taken, one left
on the other on the left.
Yeah.
So and one will be taken. Let me read that again. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Mm-hmm. So there's all these
scriptures
that are pointing to, and then even in, where is it? Talks about you'll be taken up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
So there's all these things. Okay, so now, boom, you're walking with God. The rapture comes. That means you're taken from planet Earth, mm-hmm. and you're brought into heaven.
Yes.
Then what?
Then when you're in heaven, you go to the Bema Seat of Christ. That is, God will take all your works, gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble, and whatever is thrown into the fire, whatever comes out, that will be your reward for serving Christ here. Mm-hmm. There will be Christians there that will receive nothing but salvation. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So in other words, just to break it down a little bit more for, because we have like high school students and people that listen to this stuff. So everything that you're here on planet Earth doing, like you're like, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you have this huge career or if you are the president of the United States, mm-hmm. some huge rock star or whatever you want to be. At the end of the day, God knows whatever you've done for Christ. That chocolate's in my throat. Whatever you do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. That you have, the only thing that you do for Christ is the only thing you have to show when you get to heaven. Yeah. So you could have this massive career and become a billionaire if you want. Mm-hmm. But if you've done nothing for Christ and all you've done is just gone to church, mm-hmm. and you know, you're like, okay, God, I love you, forgive me for my sins, and I read the Bible, but you haven't done anything with them, that means you're showing up bankrupt in heaven. Yeah. Like you're in heaven, but you got nothing.
No.
And that's crazy.
And you won't be able to rule in the kingdom to come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's clear, you know, the scriptures about it.
Yeah, I know, Ryan, you want the listeners to get like a good picture and an overview of the whole timeline and everything. And your dad has always taught on prophecy for so many years, but I want to set him up with something very simple as you were going into the rapture. Mm. And because after the rapture, we believe the tribulation period begins. Well, there's three words, if you've heard this before: pre-tribulation rapture, mm-hmm. mid-tribulation rapture, or post-tribulation rapture.
Well, I know people that don't even believe in the rapture.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
But, Rob, why that's important,
yes.
because as we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture and you want him to go through what comes next, he can tell you what comes next.
Perfect.
But just break down the difference between pre, mid, and post real quick.
Pre means that we believe that we're going to be raptured 7 years before the tribulation period. Mm. Mid-tribulations believe that the people are going to be raptured in the middle of the tribulation period. Post-tribulation, they believe they're going to be raptured and come right back with Christ to set up the kingdom. But you see, why would you want to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, 7 years, which we believed, I mean, it's going to be pre-tribulation. And then, I mean, it's going to be semi-tribulation. The last 3.5 years of tribulation is going to be horrible, horrible. I mean, and then with us being pre-tribulation, what takes place is that God has not only spoken as we've been saved, we're looking forward to go to the Bema Seat of Christ. We're going to go to the Supper of the Lamb. You got all these things that we're looking forward to. People that are in the mid-tribulation, they want to live their life the way they want to. Mm-hmm. And they'll think, well, you know, when Christ comes, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to be raptured. So it doesn't work that way.
Because in the mid-tribulation, you would see the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. In the pre-tribulation, you know, we're taking that out of the way, though, because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 2. That the Holy Spirit is the one that is resisting that unveiling of the Antichrist. When the church is taken out of the way, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Then the Antichrist comes onto the scene. A mid-tribulation would be able to see that Antichrist. Things that we're talking about today, like somebody that's going to bring solutions to problem of government, money, religion, you know, a mid-tribulation would say that they would see those things, but then it would get worse.
You know how hard it's going to be in the last 7 years of world history? Because those that were not taken at the rapture of the church, the only way to get to heaven, they have to be headed. Once you get the mark of the beast, you're done.
Okay. There's a lot here, but I want to take you back because I want to go through this in detail so people kind of understand. So you get raptured. Mm-hmm. Now, there's this thing that in the Bible refers to as in the Antichrist.
Yes.
So when you get raptured, how will you know when you see the Antichrist?
Okay, we won't know.
People that are here.
People that are left behind here.
First of all, the people that weren't walking with God that thought they were.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, dang,
Well, they're going to know, what happened to Ryan? What happened to Sean?
Well, they'll know.
You know, yeah, they'll know for sure.
Okay, and then, so what happens with the Antichrist?
So God gives him an opportunity to repent. Yeah. Because the Antichrist is going to say, look, in order to, like,
what those. But how will you know what the Antichrist, like, what does the Bible speak of as the Antichrist? What are these people looking for?
In chapter 13 of Revelation, he talks about the mark of the beast.
Okay,
you
what
can
is
buy,
that?
You can sell. Mm-hmm. It's a mark that's going to be in your right hand or your forehead. So what's going to take place once you take that mark? Mm-hmm. He says 666. We really don't know if it's going to be a chip, whatever it is, but it's a mark. Mm-hmm. Once you take that mark or that chip, you're done. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do.
Now, interesting enough, Dad, now if we look at the signs of the times, even in 2020, there is chips.
You were talking about that.
Now let's look back. This was written 2,000 years ago, okay? So it says that you won't be able to buy or sell anything without the mark. So, you know, if you're reading it back then, it'd be like, what, like a tattoo or like some kind of mark? So interesting now is we saw Dr. Oz a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Even in getting into nightclubs, you could implant chips to open your car, to hold your bank account, to hold your banking record.
It's here.
It makes so much sense. Even if it's like, okay, well, maybe it's not the chip. Maybe it's going to be something else. At the end of the day, it's going to be something.
Yeah.
From technology, what we're seeing implanted.
No money. It's just you go to the grocery store.
So the technology's there, and it's going to be some kind of a chip. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But God's in control. God is giving opportunity. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for the perfect time to say, okay, church, come up. And that was going to break
Now,
loose.
Looking at Bible prophecy also, we know that when the Antichrist, his name's not going to be Mr. Antichrist.
Yeah.
He's going to be a world leader, but his spirit or his being, his whole self is against Christ, against God. He's going to show up and he's going to show up in Israel. He's going to come to Israel and he's going to build the temple for the Jews.
Yeah.
Now, when you go there, when we go on our trips there every other year, you go to the Temple Institute and they call it they don't call it the Wailing Wall. They call it the Western Wall.
The Western Wall, yeah.
And what happens is you go to the Western Wall and when you talk to the Jews there, and you go to the Temple Institute, they have the Ark of the Covenant redesigned. They have the ephod. They have all the instruments.
Everything
that they used from temple worship back then is recreated there. Mm-hmm. They even have like that, the menorah is like, I don't know how many millions of dollars it was, but it's actually already there. They're already breeding the ox, the red heifer for sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So they're already breeding that. You can even Google all the stuff that I'm talking about. Just Google it. It's all there. It all exists. And when you talk to the Jews there, they say, I say, why do you have all this temple stuff going on? What is it for? They said, any day the Messiah will be here. He will build the temple for us to worship. And in scripture, we know that the Messiah, Jesus, already came. Mm-hmm. They missed it. Mm-hmm. But the next Messiah that's going to come is going to be the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And they're going to accept the Antichrist.
And then they're going to look when he's coming and say, how in the world did we miss it?
But there'll be world peace at this time.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be world peace because he's going to come solve problems around the world.
At the beginning, it will be peaceful because he wants to win the people.
Right.
And if there's no monetary system, but only a mark, think of how many people. Well, how do we eat? You know, I mean, imagine you don't take the mark of the beast. You've been left behind. Mm-hmm. How are you going to eat? How are you going to go here, go there? So you're going to have to say, okay, I'm going to have to be beheaded.
Now, remember, coming back to 2020, Congress, in the bill for the coronavirus pandemic, they actually had in there, they were trying to get rid of all cash to have a digital currency, which we already have Bitcoin. There's actually several digital currencies already that are operating. Mm-hmm. So the currency already exists. It's just not a world currency.
Right.
So now when you're reading Revelations from 2,000 years ago, you're like, the digital currency. If you would have talked about a digital currency 20 years ago, we would have been like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it actually exists.
It's here. Everything's here.
And the other thing, too.
And I'm not trying to like usher in the Antichrist movement, but even now what they're saying, how the coronavirus, how contagious it is.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
I don't want cash anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't even use cash really, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense. And yeah, I was going to, that's exactly what I was going to say as well. As they say that money's so filthy and everything, everyone can agree to it.
I mean, when
so,
you really think about where this money goes, it's pretty disgusting.
Totally. I mean,
you see everything lining up, and that's what the Bible even says, is like there's this anti-Christ spirit. That John talks about in 1 John.
And what does that mean, anti-Christ spirit?
It's against God. And we see it. Don't we see it in the media? Don't we see it in our culture today? Mm-hmm. Anti means against Christ.
Right.
And that's why the things of Christ have been taken out of so many platforms.
And all the false Christs have come.
Been taken out of schools, public forums, courtrooms, you know, different television shows and stuff like that. And it goes on the other side, that's everything that is against the Lord, everything that is against Christ. You're seeing that battle already. And I think one thing with this whole pandemic, you're seeing how quick people will follow suit and listen to what is being spoken to them. If you can tell me that I can go now, I can leave my house, I can make a living for myself if I do this, and I don't have like the Spirit of God, you know, working in me, you'll fall for it. People will fall for it for sure.
You know, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
But with that said, like I've looked at, like I'm watching the pulse of culture in the world, what's going on. And when I'm comparing it to, because I don't get lost in YouTube films or conspiracy or anything like that. I look at what's happening in culture and I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I judge what's happening and what I'm seeing in front of me to the Bible. And, you know, when we hear about this one world government, we're going to get into all that stuff after the break. And, you know, when it gets really crazy with the Antichrist and all that. But right now, when you look at a one world order and control, when I'm looking at what's happening to culture right now, the whole world just got shut down overnight.
Oh, yeah.
We're in America. Yeah. We have freedom. They're like, stay home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
people don't shake hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the government. The governments have
the power.
World control right now. Yeah. This is the first time in history we've ever seen anything to where the whole place got shut down to now when you read Revelations, you're like, oh, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like more totally than ever right now. Oh, one world government will come in. Yeah. You'll get rid of the cash. It'll be a one world monetary system. Yeah. Okay, we got the chip. We got the Bitcoin. We got all these things in place.
Everything's in place.
Yeah. Everything's already lined up. Yeah. Like I could see this happening like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And when you bring up the Antichrist too, one of the other things is the religion. People will look at religion as a bad thing in the culture. They'd be like, man, the Christians, you know, they're closed-minded, they're old school or whatever, or to the Muslims, like all the stuff that they have done. Or you look at different cults, or you look at maybe the Roman Catholic Church that has been corrupt and all
the
that kind of
stuff. Seven hills in Rome.
Well, did you read about UN? There was an article that got sent to me, and UN is trying to be the main... Like they want to run all the religions through them, and they want to re-edit the books, all the holy books, so everything coexists.
Yeah. Crazy.
The UN. I got to look at that article. I think David Hillman sent it to us. So, okay, so leading up to this point, because we're going to get into it right after the break. Leading up to this point, we're talking about the Christian, the lukewarm Christian, and the Christians, the church. We believe that the church will be taken just from like God. Every time there was always judgment, he always took care of his church. And then the Antichrist will show up, and he's going to build the temple for the Jews, right next to the what the scripture says the temple will be built right next to the Muslim temple is. It says right on the outside of the quarters will be
the Dome of the Rock.
Yes, so it's in the Bible. It's already prophesied. It will happen. So it's going to happen. The Jews will think he is the Messiah, and we will get back to you guys right after the break. I do want to plug. Go to whosoevers.com. Right now, we are in a situation where we're not touring schools right at the moment, but we got tons of invites. Right now, we're getting more invites than ever right now. People are like, when this thing's done, you need to come to our country. We got all over the United States, South America, Africa hit us up, Europe, Australia. Connect with us. We actually just produced a sick, great commission film, which I think everyone needs to watch this because when we come out of this pandemic, or just when we're able to leave our house, this is when the Great Commission is going to be the most important to reach people. You will be inspired. You will be encouraged. You will see the Bible come to life, and you will see ordinary men do extraordinary things through the work of the Holy Ghost. If you want to donate to the cause to help keep us up and running, to keep moving the meter, please do. And remember, go to whosoevers.com. We have, you could download the app on the App Store, get all our past radio shows, and just stay connected. My dad, Raul Reese, You could go to, what is it, Somebody Loves You?
CalvaryGS.org is for the church, and there's so much stuff that is there, but also it's SomebodyLovesYou.com. You're able to be linked to his YouTube, his daily radio program, and all the other content that's there this time.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
We are back from the break, and check this out. Right before the break, I was talking to my dad, Raul Reese, from Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar, and Sean McKeon. We were talking about the rapture stuff. So if you didn't hear, definitely tune in. Find the app or go to whosoever's.com and get the past show. But where we left off is that now the Antichrist, the church is taken. The Antichrist arises. He's a world government. There's a one world monetary system. People are getting chipped, it says, or getting these marks. And now we live in 2020. Obviously, it sounds like a chip. And then with the whole Bill Gates thing that just launched too, it's even more so. It's going to be a chip, obviously. He builds a temple for the Jews, mm-hmm. and the Jews are expecting the Messiah to come because mm-hmm. they miss Jesus, the first Messiah. So then he rises, he builds their temple, and then there's like world peace for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Right? But he has 144,000 that are Jews that are coming to preach the gospel.
Now, those guys have left and they're in a safe zone, these mm-hmm. Jews that are all mm-hmm. virgins and they're waiting yeah. to, they're like the revivalists yes. of the last times, yes. but they're being set aside. Mm-hmm. But what's happening with the mainstream world right now?
The mainstream world. Remember, the Antichrist has a helper too, the false prophet.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about
that. Yeah. So what happens, there's this, the religions right now, that and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but we believe that Rome will be a big, big help to the Antichrist, which means the Pope rules, mm-hmm. you know, and the Antichrist wants somebody to assist him.
So they think there's...
Yes.
Ideas that
Muslims and Catholic Church.
So people believe that mm-hmm. the Pope could be the false prophet.
Yes, because he's worldwide. But also...
It could be this Pope or another
right,
Pope.
Right, but also the Muslims, you know, they behead people, mm-hmm. you know, and the Muslims can be, you know, not only... their goal is to take over the world. Mm-hmm. That's their goal.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them come to Christ, which is so neat. But the Muslims have a lot of power.
There is a revival happening with the Muslims.
Yes,
sure.
Totally. Yeah. And so the Catholic Church today, the Pope is ruling right now. Mm-hmm. He's a total, Antichrist. Man, he's totally.
Really?
He's changing all the orders in the Catholic Church.
Really?
Yeah.
Very liberal.
Time. Liberal. Fully liberal. Yeah. So the Catholic Church is worried about that. You know, so according to the scripture in the book of Revelation, there is going to be that assistant in Revelation 13 that is going to help the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to receive a mortal head wound.
Dad, I know.
No.
I'm just thinking about this whole Pope thing. That's true because he's like this icon
uh-huh.
in all the different uh-huh. countries. He has this
power.
He yeah. has power and
yeah.
reach
yeah. Uh-huh.
to get in front of anyone and meet with any mm-hmm. world leaders or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
Yeah, and so the Antichrist is going to have this guy ruling with him, and then all of a sudden, according to Revelation, he's going to receive a mortal head wound.
He's going to get shot or something.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he makes a statue of him, and they begin to worship that statue. Who makes statues?
Mm. Yeah,
the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. They worship idols.
Wait, who's going to get shot in the head? The Antichrist?
The Antichrist.
Will get shot in the head.
He's going to have a mortal head wound.
And then they're going to make a statue. Oh, no, and then he's going to raise from the dead, and then they're going to make a statue.
Yeah,
because if you go there to the Pope or to the Vatican, it's all statues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We wouldn't remember. I mean, it was horrible in there, man. They had the Diana, the goddess, remember, in the Catholic Church.
No way.
Yeah. With all the breasts.
Had her in there?
Yes.
I haven't been there, but he sent pictures
yeah.
of her.
Oh, yeah. I had to go with you guys
that
day.
Yeah, totally. I mean, totally. So they're a big religion.
Yeah.
You know, and between the Muslims and the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. very powerful because they want to dominate the world.
But with the Catholic Church or with that, they're not like they're going more liberal, obviously, like you just said, but they're not threatening to hurt people.
And Ryan,
so I could see that
in chapter 18, it talks about the seven hills which the Catholic Church is built upon.
Right, right.
You know, so I mean, it's pretty heavy.
Okay, so now, He gets shot. Mm-hmm. People start worshiping him because he raises from the dead. He also says he'll do signs and wonders in the sky.
Yes.
Like, what the heck is he going to do? Uh-huh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because if he raises from the dead, people are going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then he starts calling fire from heaven or doing things, signs in the sky.
Yeah.
People got to be, people are going to be tripping out. Going,
oh, yeah.
This is like the real deal here.
And that's what the Bible says, I believe, in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it's like, he's going to use these signs and wonders because people are like, wow, he must be special, mm-hmm. and they're going to follow him.
Yeah.
People are going to be, it's going to affirm to them, wow, he can do these signs and wonders. He can do all these kind of things. Therefore, he must be the real deal.
Well, think about this. Let's go back to Jesus' days. Because Jesus did the signs and wonders, that opened people's eyes that would follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were like, whoa, what the heck? Like, this guy is God. This guy is the Messiah. Yeah. So now the church is gone. Now the false Messiah rises, the Antichrist. And then Satan always does the counterfeit stuff. Yeah. So now he's doing the signs and wonders. And now the church is gone. And now all the people that are here, they're just going to follow this guy.
Yeah, and Jesus talks about many false prophets coming. In 1 John, he talks about all these false prophets coming. That's just a preview of what's going to take place when the real false prophets.
So they're talking about all the people up to now. Because, I mean, we were watching. I'm just breaking these things down one thing at a time. Yeah. We were watching yesterday on, like, Vice has a Jesus guy that lives in, remember he lives in the hills? Did you watch that one on Vice?
I watched it, the one that you just sent.
You got to watch that one. Yeah, so this guy looks like Jesus or like, you know, knockoff of Jesus. And people go to worship him every day. Mm-hmm. And then there's like another false Jesus that would get 666 tattooed on his head from Miami.
Yeah.
All these false prophets.
Yeah. No, he's
and these cults and David Koresh. David Koresh, that's on Netflix. Have you seen that?
No.
You know who David Koresh is,
right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, let me.
He was the Lamb of God.
This says. Breaks it down real simple. Yeah. You got to hear it because it's on the same line. It's in 2 Thessalonians. Read the whole chapter 2, but just listen to this part. This is speaking about the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, mm-hmm. with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. He's talking about the people that are going to be living at that time. They rejected the truth. And they actually believe a lie, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they should be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So basically, the Antichrist, he's going to be deceiving with all this unrighteous deception. And then it's going to be for those that have rejected the truth. The church is taken out of the way. Mm-hmm. So those that the truth is being spoken to. And I remember Jesus said that in the Gospels, it says, I am right before you. Mm-hmm. You're rejecting me as the truth. But in the future, he's saying to the Pharisees, you are going to accept him. And he was in reference to the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. You reject the truth, you accept the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to be taking place in the world with the Antichrist. You're going to think like he has all these solutions. The Jewish people are going to think he has the solutions, be able to build this, build a temple again, which they want, like you were saying, in that 3.5 years. And it's at that moment, man, there's so much amazing. You go to the book of Daniel chapter 9, it tells you exactly
the whole thing's lined up there.
That in that middle of that time.
Could you do an overview of it?
The book of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 are probably one of the most important verses of prophecy in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because it's Daniel, and he's waiting upon God, and he gives him a picture of the future. Everything that we've been talking about right now, he talks about the 77s. The word week in the Old Testament has reference to a seven-year period. Mm-hmm. And so let me just break down the simple part. There's a lot of detail, but the simple part of the Antichrist, what you were talking about.
So
if we are right in what we're saying about the pre-tribulation rapture, it would line up perfectly.
Yep.
Because it would be a week. In the book of Daniel, speaks of 7 years. So if we say after the rapture starts a seven-year period, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and in the middle of that week, which would be 3.5 years, then he is going to be revealed, the abomination of desolation. He will stand in the place of where the Jews worship and say, worship me, for I am God.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people's eyes are going to be open, and then that's when all hell is going to break loose upon the earth, where the city of Petra comes into play. It's crazy, as you're talking about all these other religions, the Jewish nation, God's people, right now we're in the church age, we're in the time of grace, and God's spirit is being poured out, but in the future, God is going to continue doing work in the nation of Israel.
You know what he said too? I'll take you back to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah's praying. He's never been to Israel. You know, the walls need to be rebuilt, the gates. Mm-hmm. So he prays, and then the king in chapter 2 gives him permission, and that was March 14, 445 BC. So he goes, and what happens? Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey on April the 6th, 32 AD. There's 490 years to be fulfilled. When Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, 483 years out of the 490, which leaves what? 7 years. 7 years we've been living for 1900 years for that 7 year period to what? To be fulfilled. Hmm. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. And we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here. I mean, like you said, everything is building up mm-hmm. electronically.
And even it even talks about like, I forget how it refers to it in the Bible, like Russia. It's Russia and Turkey. And
yeah,
all
Magog.
Those, Magog. Yeah. All those countries will come against mm-hmm. Israel. And what's so interesting is up to like, I forget how many, a couple of years ago, Russia was, you know, was in Russia. But then do you remember when they went into that Eastern Europe country mm-hmm. Recently? Remember they took over and there was this whole big old thing. I can't think of it. Not Lithuania. Yeah. I can't even think of that one of the names of. But anyway, they invaded.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, they invaded. And then from there, once they got into that country, that even allowed them to even to bring their submarines and ships into that water right there. And now they have a base in Damascus, yeah. which is like 250 miles away from yeah. Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't there before no. until they invaded that country mm-hmm. before. Because you would read the Bible and say, yeah. Russia's going to invade Israel. How are they going to invade Israel? They're not even close to yeah. them. When they invaded that country, does anyone know that country? We'll have to look it up.
No, I'm talking,
they invaded that country. And remember, everyone was going, why? How, like that was before Trump yeah, was in yeah. power, but Obama didn't do anything. Yeah. They invaded. That led to them being able to move to Damascus and have an air base there. And now for them to have an air base that's only 250 miles away from Israel, for them to invade, dude, yeah. it makes sense.
When you see these things happen, when yeah. time is near.
It makes sense.
Right here.
Never before yeah. in the history of the Bible, mm-hmm. you would say, how are they going to invade?
Yep.
They're there now.
Oh, yeah. And see,
250 read, miles. How, yeah. how far is that? That's like.
How many miles?
That's like LA to San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two hour drive yeah. on a plane. Boom. 10 yeah. minutes. Bam. Yeah.
And that's
how close they are.
And yeah. that's when it goes into prophecy. You, yeah. Chuck Smith used to say, your dad says it too. Keep your eyes on Israel. Yeah. Israel's a small,
they're the key.
Small nation. Yeah. They're surrounded by. Their enemies. They are surrounded by enemies all around them.
And they win.
And they win. Because, they win. Because God's with them.
Well, let's talk more about that. So, okay, so now all of a sudden it gets crazy. The Revelations talks about the seals starting to open, and now world peace ends because the Antichrist walks in to the temple and he says, bow down and worship me. And the Jews are like, boom. At that point, they have an awakening. Mm-hmm. The veil comes off. Oh my gosh, this is not the Messiah. It was Jesus Christ. Now actually judgment starts coming out on the earth. And there's, what are the judgments? I know that like at one point it says in Revelations 9:6-8, it says, in those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, mm-hmm. but death will flee from them. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like golden crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like lions. And this is what they believed, like going back to like those demons that back in Genesis that left their estate and had sex with the women. They had the Nephilims that they're so evil that they've been held down in the pit for the last days. They're let out of the pit, they believe, and they will start torturing people for months.
Yeah.
And people will try to commit suicide and they can't die. They'll be tortured by these demonic beings.
And think of those demons that are there in Iraq, mm-hmm. you know, in the now.
So wait, yeah, because there's, yeah. okay, so those are the same ones, right? The ones that are in Iraq, it yeah. talks about, that's mm-hmm. that's the ones it talks about in Jude
yes.
and in Genesis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about those so people
well,
could hear about
them. There's these demons, you know, locked up in there in Iraq, you know, and I'm trying to think of the Euphrates River. Euphrates. And so these things will never be let loose until God, in the book of Revelation, allows them to be loose. And people wish they would have never been let loose. Because when you read the book of Revelation, these demons are going to do heavy, heavy work in the world. And one of the things that God will do when they come out, that's why people's death will flee. Because God, imagine committing suicide.
Yeah.
You pull the trigger, and you can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
The torment, you know, and the way God has his angels to protect, and to fight against his demons. So for me right now, like you said, things are being prepared in such a way that right now, I mean, I would say at any time.
For the rapture.
At any time, yeah. At any time, anything. Look what happened right now. We didn't expect that.
Yeah.
What's next? It's going to lock up the people, you know, in homes that they can't leave maybe 6 months, 9 months because it's terrible. Well, that's going to happen in the nuclear warfare. Mm-hmm. You can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, these are the things right now that God is speaking to us about, and we need to be ready, and we need to teach the people and preach to people. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're looking at the book of Revelation, a lot of people, they get excited going through the book of Revelation. Some people are scared to go through the Revelation because maybe it's confusing for them. But everything that we're talking about right now, you know, in the first three chapters in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the seven churches. And there's exhortations of actual churches there, but also can actually be a picture of church history as well. And even into a believer's life, there's a lot of lessons there. Chapter 4 speaks about the rapture of the church. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into chapter 6 to 18, right, Ralph?
Yes.
Is the tribulation period. So everything that you're talking about, all those things, that's all during that tribulation period from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 18. And the things that you see there, pestilence, famines, like horrible famines. Mm-hmm. There's going to be death. There's going to be the worst things that come upon the earth than we've ever seen in human history.
Where the fish will die, and I mean, this is going to be.
So this is the deal. You don't want to be here.
You don't want to
be here. No, you don't want to be
here. I'm not trying to get my head cut off. And I'm, you know, you'll have to get the mark of the beast. They refer to it as the chip. I'm not going to get chipped, so that means you have to get your head cut off. And if you're, like, hiding from people, that means you got to go camp, and I don't like camping. So I'm going to go.
No glamping. There's no glamping.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do the whole camping thing, hiding out, like Red Dawn, you know, living off the land. I don't think so. So in light of all this, you know, the whole thing is that you want to go, you want to have a relationship with God. Because what's the most important right now is that we reach people for Christ.
That's it.
Because Jesus is coming. Yep. I don't know. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years, 30 years. But we know the signs of the times. Things are happening. Like, I spoke at the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference. I did this message called Wake Up. You guys can look it up on YouTube or the app. But it was about the signs and the times. And I just said, you know, if we weren't in the last days, once that Dr. Oz video came out on national television that showed, hey, we could get the microchip in our right hand, and it shows them buying stuff at the grocery store. And all that stuff, it could open your car door, it could hold your bank account, all this stuff.
Everything.
I said, if we weren't in the last days, I said, we've entered them now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, even what's going on with the new chip that Bill Gates has put out, the pestilence worldwide, the Congress is trying to get rid of all cash.
Yeah.
Talks about it in the Bible, it'll be a one world government or a one world monetary system. Dude, it's all there. The time, it's now truly time to wake up.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to really pray for people to really be, to wake up.
The church needs a revival. And leaders need a revival.
You know, we need pastors to wake up before the people wake up.
Yeah.
Because the pastors are sleeping. You know what? They're afraid not to get some money. They're afraid of their church leaving because, you know, they're not entertaining anymore. So they really don't want to study God's word. It takes time to study God's word.
It does.
You know, it takes time. You know, it takes prayer and time to get the message from the Lord. Not your message. It has to be his message.
You know what? You're right. When I used to teach a lot, the preparation to get the message. But you know, when you get the message and you go up and you speak it, it just hits people and people are just affected.
Mm-hmm.
Versus you see people get up and they just ramble and just say stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a whole different thing. And you know, that's why you want to meditate on the word. Like the Bible says, you just sit there and you meditate and go, okay, God, I've read this scripture, you know, tons of times, but what are you saying? What am I taking? How do you want me to expand this? Or how do you want me to break this down today for these people? And when you do, that's when you see
And you know what?
God moving.
My word will not return empty. Mm-hmm. God's word goes into heart. He bears it. And then you have a will to say yes or no to the word of God.
Mm-hmm. We should look at this as an exciting time.
Yeah. Heck, you know, yeah.
This is a exciting time that out of all time in human exciting history and church history, we have been fortunate to be able to live during this time. God's grace showered upon our lives that we were set free from a lifestyle that had us in bondage for so many mm-hmm. years. He's given us the opportunity to do ministry, to do this radio show and all these kind of things. And then also to be able to see what's taking place in our nation so we can have vision for what God is going to do through our lives and the calling that he's placed upon our lives. Mm-hmm. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And that's for everybody that's out there right now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. As we've been sharing on these couple shows, you don't want to waste this time. Mm-hmm. You want to let God do inventory on your life. You want to get things out of your life that are a distraction. You want to make sure that you're right before the Lord, that when you go to sleep at night, I have peace with God. I don't have unfinished business with
and
people.
And teaching your children.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm walking in holiness because there's freedom when you walk in holiness. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about having a relationship with the Lord. And that's the key. And that's what the church needs to see as well. As you talk about the leaders, judgment first comes to the church first. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And where we can be refocused and driven by the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? What is a distraction and what is legit ministry? Yeah. And we just want to do that. We don't want to get caught up in programs and stuff.
This is the time when you're going to see, a shift in church, the way people do church and reach people, because There's the people that are just all about the showboat and performing. It becomes a performance. And the people that are the ones that are really doing ministry that can stand in these tough times. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just performing and the show's over, yeah. Everyone's at home.
Yeah. Close the doors.
Yeah, the doors are closed. Yeah. There's no show.
No.
And I don't know, if you've tried to put on a show in front of cameras with, no audience or whatever, but it just there's no show there.
Yeah.
Because you don't feed off the people,
Right.
So this is the time when the people that are in it that God's going to use to arise during this time. It's not about the bells and whistles anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about the people that are truly giving the word, because the word and the message that revival, that's going to be that's what's going to speak to people that are
the
actually
seed being thrown out.
Yeah, that's it. It's that simple. So if you just tuned in, I would suggest watching this show. Last week, we did another show about the signs of the times. This show is about the rapture and end times. So I would watch the two shows together. They're both with Raul Reese, my dad, at Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar, and Sean McKeon. Sean, obviously, from here. He's on here a lot. All the past shows are at thewhosoevers.com. You guys go to the Whosoever's and watch our new video. It's called The Whosoever's Killed a Noise Tour. It's about the Great Commission. Go watch it. This video, it's the timing of this video right now. Right now, we all need to come out of this from now until Jesus comes living the Great Commission. And that's what this video is. It's a discipleship film showing people that you can live the Great Commission, that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It's just a work of his Holy Spirit. We have products on there. We have, donate, do whatever you want to do, but get tuned in. Is there anything that you guys want to plug? The studies here at the church.
I would say, that you support mm-hmm. the Whosoever's mm-hmm. because you guys are doing a tremendous job and you're getting to the kids. Mm-hmm. Churches don't get to the kids. Mm-hmm. They need to get to the kids, and then you put them into the church so they can get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Then they can go to their friends and say, hey, you know what? I found this place, and this is what they're doing, and then they get saved.
That's the Great Commission, right?
Yep.
Preach the gospel.
Yep.
What does it say? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey my commandments. Mm-hmm. And once they're done obeying their commandments, part of the commandment is to go back out and live the Great Commission mm-hmm. and make disciples of the nation. So. Yep. That's the Great Commission, is reaching them, discipling them, baptizing them.
Loving them.
Like Nacho Libre. You're going to baptize. Baptize them.
I've been sprinkled.
But that being said, I was going to drop the content. For your dad's been teaching for over 40, how many years?
48 years.
That's
it?
A long time. But anyway, if you go to somebodylovesyou.com, you'll be able to see all the different aspects. You can hear Pastor Raul on the radio daily at the Somebody Loves You, a daily radio program. But also, you're able to have a link to go to the Somebody Loves You YouTube Worldwide,
yep.
which is dropping daily shows Monday, Sunday, all the way till Friday. A lot of great content to encourage you on your walk with God. Raul does a show during the week as well. So make sure you check out all that stuff.
Follow his YouTube.
Follow all the YouTube, all the social media platforms. We'll continue.
He has books.
Tons of books. And again, that's at somebodylovesyou.com. Bunch of books, bunch of apparel, all these things that will just bless you and your family. So check it out.
Yes, so we will be talking to you guys next week. I'm going to pray for everyone. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you just touch everyone that's listening to this. God, encounter them now with the power of the Holy Ghost. Just fall on them right now in Jesus' name. Just pray that you fill them, wash them with the living water, cleanse them with the blood that was shed on the cross. Speak to them, God. Lord, speak to them right now. Give them their marching orders and use them in these times to reach as many people for Christ. Let them have a revival, God. Let them encounter the living water, the Holy Ghost inside of them right now, moving in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Hi, friend. Are you stressed, maybe even worried about so many needs around you that you've forgotten you are worth taking care of too? Well, I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. I want to invite you to join me as I share practical tips based on science, inspired by God's Word, to help you spark joy and restore God's peace and love to your soul. Subscribe now and go to lifeaudio.com.